Imagine as far as you can see, it's brilliant white. Eye-blinding white covers the ground, and it's not snow. As far as you can hear, it's as quiet as a closed library. You're surrounded by hundreds of thousands of millions of bones, human bones. There's no smell because those to whom these bones belong are long dead. The bodies have been picked clean of any shred of the person that they once belonged to, and the harsh rays of the sun have bleached the bones as white as the few clouds that float overhead. God brought Ezekiel to a valley of dry bones. The bones are the people of Israel, dead because they lost faith in their God. The nation of Israel is dead because they did not keep God first. They're slain because they did not obey God's commands, murdered because they did not love God with their whole heart. They lost their way, they lost God as their focus, the center of their lives, and they lost their faith. They died because despite everything that God had done for them, they abandoned God. Now, Ezekiel is living in exile. The nation of Israel is no more. The kingdom has been defeated, devastated, and destroyed. The leaders captured, taken to Babylon. The promised land has been ripped from their hands. The temple has been destroyed and leveled. Their way of life is torn from their grasp, and the chosen people feel abandoned and isolated. They believe that God has rejected them. In fact, it was they who rejected God. They were set apart to be a holy people, a shining example on a hill, blessed to be a blessing, but they followed other gods, worshiped other traditions, and ignored what God had asked of them. They were unfaithful and ungrateful. But the bones are us. We're empty of faith, empty of life, empty of love, empty without God. We think that God ignores us. We doubt God's existence. We live in a time of uncertainty. We do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. There are rumors and possibilities of war, civil strife, destruction, human cruelty, greed, abuse, and violence. It seems like each day is in competition with the next as to what news can be more horrific. And we live in a time of diminishing returns. We see fewer people in our activities, fewer activities for us to be involved with. Fewer friends are around, fewer people live in our towns, and fewer people will come to our churches. And we live in a time of increasing need. We see and hear about more people in trouble. They are hungry and starving. They are poisoned by the earth and our mismanagement of it. They tell stories of abuse and mistreatment. They are persecuted and victimized. Their stories fill our media, and their stories haunt our nights. And we take it all in, and we're overwhelmed. We want to help, we want to do things, but there's so much to do, we don't know where to start. And there's more and more and more. And that light of hope in our hearts grows dim, in danger of going out. Now last week I quoted from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, and he said, if you have never found something so dear and so precious to you that you will die for it, then you are not fit to live. And that's true because our lives gain value by doing things, for having a cause to work for, a cause to fight for, and possibly even a cause to give our lives for. And along the same lines, if we don't have something we don't have a cause, our lives lose value without something to fight, work, or even die for. And the greatest loss is the loss of hope. Without hope, our lives lose meaning. Without hope, our lives lose value. Without hope, our lives are simply counting down days until we die. Without hope, we're a walking bag of bones looking for a valley. And this isn't a prophecy. This is the truth. This is history. This is what happened to the people of Israel. They lost faith, and they lost hope. They lost their land. And they turned their back on God's love. But this is also what's happening in churches and in our communities across this country and around the world. There's so much to do that we don't know what to do first, and we're overwhelmed, and we're losing hope. But mortals, can these bones live? Sometimes the world seems like that valley of dry bones. Things that we've given up on, things that we can't do, signs of our failure, signs of loss, signs of death. But can these bones live? God wants Ezekiel to tell the people of Israel this story of the valley of dry bones because God wants there to be hope. Because where hope is, God is. And where God is, life comes from lifelessness. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones. And say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. The good news is that we serve a God who brings life from where there is no life. In the beginning, when everything was a formless void, God spoke creation into existence. The good news is that we worship a Savior who was dead but has been raised. And the good news is that we are empowered by a Spirit that is literally the breath of life. One of the nerdy things that I love is that the Hebrew word for spirit is ruach. It's a fun word to say. It's a little bit dangerous to say if you've got a cold. But the word ruach means spirit. It also means wind. It also means breath. So imagine that now, before we are citizens of the Valley of Dry Bones, every time we breathe in, we bring God's Spirit into us. And every time we exhale, we send God's Spirit out into the world. With every breath in, we're filled with God's Spirit of love and justice and peace and mercy and forgiveness. And with every exhale, we send that out into the world. We serve a God who brings life from death. We serve a God who wants us to know that we are God's beloved for no other reason than we are God's beloved. To the people of Israel, God said, I'm not through with you yet. You think you're dead. You don't get off the hook that easy. I promise that land to you. And though you are unfaithful, I'm giving it back to you. Though you think you are dead and defeated and destroyed, I will bring you back to life. And to the churches, to the church of the world, to our church, to you, God says, I'm not done with you yet. Things seem bleak. You have fewer resources and more demands upon them. That's okay. Just as God promised the people of Israel a land, God promises us to be with us always. Christ said, I am with you until the end of the ages. Now I've told you to go to all nations, to all peoples, teaching them what I have taught you and sharing with them God's love and the good news. And just as God set the breath, the ruach, the spirit into the dry bones and they lived, as God sent the breath, the ruach, the spirit into the people of Israel and they returned to the land promised to them, God is sending the breath, the ruach, the spirit into the church, into this church, into you, reigniting that light of hope in your heart and calling us to share God's love and the good news. And while the journey is challenging, the opposition is daunting, and the way is fraught with peril, I ask you, mortal, can these bones live? Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, they will live. And everyone who lives and believes with me will never die. Do you believe this? Can these bones live? With hope in our hearts, with hope alive in our hearts, and with faith in a God who raises the dead, everything is possible. Amen.